Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome on into today's Freight Waves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and we are checking in with our host and writer of the Check Call Community, Mary O'Connell. Mary, great to see you here on this Tuesday morning.
As always, guys, you know there's no place I'd rather spend my Tuesday mornings other than hanging out with everybody here.
Absolutely. Today, and we are focusing on, quite frankly, how not to make your warehouse suck, right? But we're going to be a little bit nicer than that. We're going to talk about some specifics of warehousing and the ways that you can make it better for your employee. And then that translates into the people that you're using, your clients actually have a better experience as well. First things first, talk to us about your guest who's going to be on today's episode of Check Call.
Today we have Ryan Martin. He is the president of distribution and fulfillment at ITS Logistics, and he's been working in warehousing for a very long time. So it's as most of us, he fell backwards into the logistics and supply chain part and has basically been through, the retail side of warehousing and then also the 3PL side of it. And pretty much you name it, he has covered it. So we really kind of got into, you know, what some of those hallmarks of a successful warehouse is, what those metrics look like that are a successful warehouse, and then also what some of those metrics look like that maybe show that you have some problems in your warehouse and it's time to really get down into the nitty gritty and kind of figure out what the real source of those problems are.
Warehousing is such a fascinating topic because the market has seen such a dramatic flip really over the last year or so. 2021, 2022, it was so hot. New construction was absolutely exploding. You were seeing reports from warehouse management firms like Prologis saying, hey, we can't build fast enough and we can't find rental space fast enough for these clients. And now it's quite the opposite. We've seen a significant drop off in new warehouse construction. We are seeing now rates start to come down as people are having to cut costs and cut rates in order to find folks to fill their space. A lot of that driven by consumer demand. What has your take been on the way that the market has changed so drastically? And how have 3PLs, especially ones that are in the warehouse space, had to adjust for those changes?
Yeah, so it's just like everything in transportation, everything is very cyclical. What goes up must come down. And just like we saw an insane boom and, you know, people who owned warehouses just being like, well, you better have the highest price in order to get a spot in here. Just like we saw that, you know, we're seeing the flip of that now, just like we did on the rate, on the spot rates and everything else. So, you know, it's kind of the natural course correction, if you will, that comes with some with an inflated market and everything like that. So it really makes sense that, you know, there is still demand out there for warehouse space, especially in the cold chain world. But that's Friday's conversation. But there is still demand out there. It's just not quite as hot. And there's not that desperation of like, I just need somewhere to put stuff. Because over the past few years, you know, we've seen retailers and businesses, you know, kind of lean out their inventory, keep less on hand. Whereas when the big warehouse rate craze hit, everyone was trying to keep as much inventory on hand as they could and making sure that they had something for a consumer to buy because consumers were just wanting to buy anything and everything. So it's something that, you know, now that we have this balance and this correction in the market, it's now just kind of that leveling out where you can't just make up a number and say that this is what I want to charge to rent my warehouse now. You actually have to kind of stay within that kind of industry normal. And, you could pick whatever you wanted to charge, but you're not going to have an easy time getting a tenant in there to rent that warehouse space.
How have these changes translated into the labor force? And I think that that's a really fascinating lens to zoom into, right? I miss having our daily Freight Waves Now. I was talking with John Kingston about trucking transportation jobs because you always did a little zoom in on the warehouse and logistics space. And that's something that I think we need to highlight, right? Is that along with that market flip when it comes to space, labor has also taken some hits. And even though we are seeing maybe a decline in the amount of people who are entering the space, those jobs are still really there and they're still kind of in demand. Is that what you have seen as well? Or has there been maybe a more significant change in the warehouse labor force?
So there's always been a need for a warehouse job. Like there will always be a need for someone to more or less act as a number to go and pick orders in a warehouse and be a part of cog in a wheel. I mean, we see it if anybody has, you know, those mega big Amazon warehouses, you see that they are just constantly hiring and constantly going through people. That will always be there. But where it really comes into being a successful warehouse situation is, you know, when you say, okay, well, I have this core group of employees and, you know, I understand that picking and packing orders, it's, you're just punching a time clock. It's not the most exciting, but if I can do something to make you feel more involved during everything, like during your day, then that's going to be a win for me. Whether that's cross-training on different products or different customers or something like that, or whether that's, you know, maybe laying out a career path for someone where if I start as a pack and picker, there should be a way for me to work all the way up to be a warehouse manager or go work somewhere at the corporate level. So having that kind of career development and, you know, just kind of caring that your warehouse employees are more than just a number to help facilitate a KPI metric, that's going to go a lot farther to make sure that, you know, you're having that retention, because there is still that need for warehouse workers. And if you are not a great place to work and you're not paying the most competitive, you're going to have a hard time keeping your warehouse staffed, because, you know, if you know, Johnny Sue is paying $15 an hour, but a block down the street, I can go make 18, then there's not much incentivizing someone to stay where they're just a number, where they're going to get paid less than they would down the street.
So that's a good way to make your warehouse not suck for your employees. How about for your clients, for your shippers, and then extended if you're a 3PL running a warehouse, for your carriers who are coming in and using your point as a pickup drop-off location? What are those pro tips that make your warehouse run efficiently and are a nice place for shippers to store their goods and for carriers to come pick up?
I think that obviously not being a jerk to your carriers and allowing your drivers to use the bathroom. Come on, guys. It's 2024. Let's be better about this. Having plenty of parking, you know, just kind of leaning into those qualities that, you know, 3PLs look for in a shipper of choice. Be that for your carriers. Have those same standards for your warehouses, for your facilities, because the easier it is for you to do business with somebody is the more likely you're going to want to continue to do business with them, which means the more money that you're going to make, which I'm pretty sure all of us are pretty down for making money. So I would definitely say that, you know, focus on some of those shipper of choice characteristics and making sure that, you know, you do have the technology that your shippers are asking for. You do have, I'm not saying that you have to have nothing but drones flying through your warehouse, but I'm just saying having some of those inventory management tools, some of those visibility tools of, okay, like your order's picked and packed and here's where it's waiting. And then your carrier came, picked it up at this time and it arrived at this time. Having some of those like just table stake tools and doing it well is extremely important. And I think that is really going to help propel any warehouse into being a successful warehouse of the future.
The people love the robots is what I'm hearing. So Mary, we're going to keep those in mind if and when we ever decide to open our own warehouse space, because, you know, why not? Let's talk a little bit about the show today. Where can people go to find that this afternoon?
Well, if you just keep watching YouTube, make sure you subscribe to Freight Waves and hit the notification bell so you don't miss a single episode of any of our shows. But today, the new episode of Check Call will be out at 12:30 Eastern. And then if that's not enough 3PL and freight broker news, you can subscribe to the newsletter on freightwaves.com/checkcall. And that'll be coming in hot to your inboxes at 2 p.m. Eastern.
All right, Mary, thanks for that. And we will see you later on this afternoon. Catch up with you again later on the week.
Thanks, guys.